Now, I want you to think about the most challenging place you spend time. Maybe it's at home. Maybe it's at work. Maybe it's with a relative that you're facing to have to spend some time, get to be in the same room with them now after the lockdown's ended. Maybe it's a really difficult neighbour. And I want you to think about, and have that, maybe it's a boss at work, or maybe it's a co-worker at work that's really hard. Now I want you to imagine how much better your life would be if that person was just a little bit more like Jesus. Would your life be better if they were more like Jesus? In lots of different ways. I mean, if they had the brains of Jesus, if they had the smarts and the intelligence and the wisdom of Jesus, if they had the power of Jesus, or the love, or the awareness of others that Jesus had, who would discern what was going on in people's lives and respond appropriately, who had the time for the outcast and the struggling, but who could also interact with the powerful and the well-off. Just imagine your life being a little bit better if that person, or maybe you've got a big long list, if each of those people were a bit more like Jesus, and how your life would be better. Because there's no one more joyful than Jesus. There's no one more full of peace than Jesus. There's no one more full of grace or confidence or love than Jesus. I mean, if you want those things in abundance, you're going to want people to be a bit more like Jesus, because Jesus has those to the max. And I was listening to Marty's excellent sermon last week, and we look forward again to some further sermons from him in the future, don't we all? Yeah. And there was a little verse in the passage that he was speaking from in 1 John chapter 4, and it just said this, in this world, we are like Jesus. And I went, oh, crap. Oh, I couldn't. Probably Jesus wouldn't say that, I don't know. Because that's the thing, isn't it? If our life would be better if the people around us that cause us hassles were a bit more like Jesus, then maybe their lives would be better if I was a bit more like Jesus. And when we think about, oh, I'm going to be a bit more like Jesus, there's probably two responses. There's two ends of responses, right? And maybe it's a mixture, and maybe it depends on the days or whatever. And some of you might be responding, yes, I definitely want that. I'm going for that as much as I can. I'm really excited and pumped to be more like Jesus. And then other people at the other end are going, well, I'm just really exhausted. And the thought of having to work to try and be a bit more like Jesus, I just need a good lie down. Here's the thing. Whether you're on one end of enthusiasm or the other end of lack of energy, becoming more like Jesus is actually the good thing for you. Because if you've got lots of enthusiasm and energy, then if you say, yeah, I'm going to follow Jesus, you're going to enter into a life that is actually closest to your ultimate destiny and ultimate good that you could have in your life. You want to live no better life than if you become like Jesus and follow him and do the things that he's calling you to do. But if you're weary and heavy laden, you need to also know that Jesus says, come to me, all you are weary and heavy laden, and learn from me, because I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your soul. So whether you're excited or whether you're exhausted, becoming more like Jesus is actually the thing to do. And we've looked back in our, I think it was in August when we did our series from Philippians, we looked at how that God is committed to that project. God is committed to helping you become like Jesus, and he's going to complete that work. And so it's not like it's not on me, David, thank goodness. It's not on you, thank goodness. It's on God. But that's the opportunity and that's the destiny that's before us, whether we're excited or whether we're exhausted, and we want to try and grasp it with both hands. And today I wanted to talk about this because it's like we are slowly reconstructing our lives as we come out of lockdown, right? We are adding things back in. Right? We've added, many parents have added taking kids to school back in this last week or so, right? And people have started to add back in retail therapy. And people are starting to make bookings for travel and adding that back into their lives. And other people are adding back in work in some cases. And so when in the midst of adding stuff back in, I thought it would be good for us to pause and think about what are we adding back into our lives in the process of becoming like Jesus. And you probably pick up by now that I love the Gospels, and I spend a lot of time in the Gospels, and I preach a lot of time from the Gospels, and that's a different to when I was growing up, because a lot of it was from the letters of Paul or whatever else, but I think the Gospels are so rich, and they give concrete depiction of Jesus, and it also gives concrete depictions of people following Jesus. Now, we don't get to follow around a guy with sandals and robes and all that sort of stuff, unless you're in a play or something like that. In our lives, we don't get to follow them around. But Jesus is the same yesterday, today and forever. And so the things that he calls them to do and does in their lives are going to be transferable to us in some way. Because Jesus said when he was leaving, you know, I will send another comforter to be with you. And he says, at the Great Commission at the end of Matthew, he says, I will be with you always. And so although it's in a different mode for you and me today compared to 2,000 years ago in Palestine, it's still possible for us to engage with God in the same way that the disciples did. And so there are just two simple verses that I want to focus on today, and they are from Mark. Mark chapter 1, verse 17, and chapter 3, verse 14. And the first one is well known to us, and Jesus is by the Sea of Galilee, and he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting net into the lake, for they were fishing, and he said, come follow me, and I will send you out to fish for people. In essence, come follow me, learn from me, copy me, and you will become like me to do the sort of things that I'm doing right now. You will become like Jesus by following him, by becoming his student. And that's the deal. That's the way it works. We trust Jesus for forgiveness. We trust Jesus for new life. But we also trust Jesus as our master, as our teacher, as our tutor, as our mentor. There's no one better to learn from, especially if you're weary and tired, because he's the source of ultimate and true rest. But then there is this other verse in chapter 3, verse 14, and for many years I just sort of read over it because it was like the precursor to getting to a list of names that were really hard to pronounce. Because it says, Jesus went up from verse 13 in chapter 3, Jesus went up on a mountainside and called to him those he wanted, and they came to him. He appointed 12 that they might be with him, and he might send them out to preach and have authority to drive out demons. These are the 12 he appointed: Simon, to whom he gave the name Peter, James, the son of Zebedee, and his brother John, and to whom he gave the names Boanerges, I think that's how you pronounce it, with a name which means sons of thunder, Andrew, Philip, Bartholomew, you know, I'm even getting tongue-tied saying the names, right? And it was like, I'm reading the first verses just because I know I've got to somehow make sure I don't pronounce the names wrong and look silly in church. Or now silly on YouTube, that it's up there like forever. Unless someone edits out my faux pas. But verse 14 is actually deep and rich, and I've come to appreciate the depths and riches of it even more in recent years. He appointed 12, and he appointed them for three things: that they might be with him, and then he might send them out to preach, and to have authority to drive out demons. So he appointed them to have three things. One is to be with him, to be present with him. The second one was to be like him. In this particular case, to have authority, to have the same authority that Jesus had, that they would also have. But also to do stuff for him, to go out and preach. And those three simple words are doorways for us into a life of becoming like Jesus. And we're going to put them hopefully up on the screen. And it is working up on the screen in the church. That's fantastic. Chris is expert on the data this morning. That's fantastic. So the first word is with. If we're going to become like Jesus, then we need to be more consciously aware of being with him in the moments of our lives. And I just want to expand that because it's not like as Jesus is, you know, living in number 4 Power Avenue and we can all trot down there after the service to be with him, because he's with us by his spirit. And that's a good thing, because it's not limited just to the few people who could be around him at the time. No, all of us, wherever you are, get to be with Jesus. And there's really two ways that we can be with Jesus. And again, there's two words here. And the first word is solitude. That when we're alone, we can learn that Jesus is with us. When we're in our bedroom praying, when we're out on a mountain, on the side of a mountain by ourselves with no one else around and we're looking at the sky, we're in God's cathedral of creation, and we can learn to deepen our relationship with Jesus in the solitude. The second one is social. We can learn to be with Jesus when we are with people like we are now. And here's the thing. Most of us are either have a preference for one of those. Just think about it in your life this morning. In which way do you most easily connect with God? Is it when you're by yourself with God, or is it when you're with people with God? Just being really self-aware can help you, because then you can lean in to the thing that you're strong at, and you can then seek to develop the thing that you're weaker at. If you've ever damaged one of your hands, and I don't wish that on anybody, and maybe you're left-handed and you damage your right hand, you just recognise how difficult your life is, right? You know, trying to open the jar of peanut butter, trying to go to the toilet. I mean, it just, even if you lose your non-dominant hand, your life is harder. And that's why we need to have both connecting with God in the solitude and in the social. Jesus did that. He went up on the mountain by himself, but then he also gathered people around him. And so that's the model for us, that we have to have both the solitude and the social. And as we add things back into our lives, we need to be intentional about that. But you can be by yourself but not be aware of God. You can be in a crowd, but you cannot be aware of God. But it's the thing you can learn to do. You know, when you walk into a crowd, some people have eyes for things that other people don't have. You know, some people have eyes for the fashion that everybody is wearing. And they can say, oh, David wore that jacket 3 times in a row. Or isn't that, that's the latest trend skirt or whatever else, dress it is. Other people have an eye for how fit people are. They go, oh, look at that 6-pack over there. Or look at those guns over there. Other people, if you're going into a social do, have an eye for where the food comes out. And I'm one of those people. But hopefully we can all say, when I go into a group of people, I want to have an eye for where God is and what's God doing and what's God pointing out and what's God saying. And when I'm out in creation or in my room by myself with my Bible, I want to have an eye. I want to notice the thing that God's drawing my attention to, as I live into the with God life in the solitude and in the social. And if you're on the exhausted end of the spectrum, that's probably the place for you, just being with God to start. But then God will gently draw you. And if you're on the excited version and you're going out and doing stuff, God will also cycle around this, is that actually being like Jesus is important. And hopefully the next one, the with word will turn up. It has. The like word will turn up. Excellent. And again, this can split into two words, character and competency. Now, in this verse, in chapter 3, verse 14, Jesus is referring to competency, right? You will have authority to cast out demons. That's something that you are able to do. But Jesus, in many other places, talks about having my joy in it being complete in you, or not worrying, or not being angry, or being full of love. And so there are both of these things, character and competency, that if we're going to become like Jesus, that we need to do, that we need to grow in. And it's not like that's a bad deal, that's a good deal. We've already said that Jesus is the most joyful, peaceful, loving, hopeful, confident person in existence. And I don't know any of us that don't want more of that. Well, if we want those things, go to the person who's the expert in those things. Go to the person who wants to give us those things, who wants to work in our lives by His Spirit to give us those fruit of the Spirit. And being willing to say, well, I'm willing to give up a bit of contempt and a bit of anger and a bit of worry so I can have a bit more love and joy and peace. But I also want to be able to pray. I mean, Jesus was a good prayer. I want to grow in my competency in prayer. Or Jesus understood the Bible. I want to grow in my competency in understanding the Bible. Or Jesus could talk to people. I want to be able to grow in my competency to do that. As I add things back into my life. Again, which of these do you lean in? Which is your left hand and which is your right hand? Which is the one that you're stronger at the moment? Is it character or is it competency? Lean into the one that you're stronger at, but also seek to grow in the one that you're weaker at. It's not that you're better or worse, it's just that each of us will tend to have something that we tend to be better at, or that tend to be our thing that we lean into more. So solitude or social, character and competency. And the final word is for. And again, just want to unpack it into two simple words, church and community. Here's the thing, your life is not purposeless. In fact, your life is purposeful. And God has planned incredible things for you to do, good works for you to do. That will be good for you to do. You will get a sense of accomplishment, and good for the people around you that you will do. And that doesn't matter whether you're a child or whether you're 90. Now, the scale of the thing that you might do or how much people notice might be different. But guess what? God looks on a much different scale. He notices the widow dropping a few cent coins into the temple treasury. He notices the hidden things. And so don't ever think that the things that you can do for God are somehow insignificant or unnoticed or not worth doing just because of the size or your status or your stage in life. No. If you're in a nursing home and you show kindness to the person next to you, guess what? You're probably the only person that is right there to be able to do that for them at that moment. And you're being Jesus to them in that moment. If you're in your schoolyard and you're sticking up for the kid that's being bullied, or you're sharing your lunch with the person who forgot it, well, you're the only person that can be Jesus to that person in that moment. Doesn't matter whether anybody else ever knows. But again, some of us will find it easier to do stuff for God in the community, by which we mean our family, our neighbours, our workplace, our social clubs, whatever else it is, and other people will find it easier to do things in the church. But God calls you to do things in both. God set up the church so that not one person would have everything, but that together we would have everything that we need. And so you have things that we as a church need. And so there's things for you to do in our church. And there's things for you to do in your community. Now, obviously there can be overlap for those things, like your family is part of your community, but they probably may also be in the church, but they may not be. But hopefully this simple diagram and these three big words expanded in these ways can give you a few doorways to walk through. If you're thinking, how can I grow to be a bit more like Jesus? Just think about the with, like, and for. And then think, which am I stronger at? Solitude or social? Character or competency? Church or community? Which way is God calling me and prompting me in at the moment? And then when you've figured those out, the final word for us is copy. All of the important things in life we learnt by copying someone, like tying your shoelaces, unless you've just got purely slip-ons or Velcro shoes, like using a spoon or a fork. You copied someone. Typing, playing computer games, playing football, baking cakes, you copied someone. Now, you might now put your own twist on it and do your own recipe or whatever else, but when you were learning to do it, you copied someone else until you got the hang of it, and then you felt confident to do it in your own way. And so if you want to grow in being with God in solitude, find someone who seems to be good at that and ask them to show you how they do it. If you want to be with God more in a crowd of people, speak to someone who has a bit more expertise in that area than you and ask them to show you. If you find someone that's more joyful than you and you want to grow in joy, same deal. Speak to them, ask them what God's done in their life and how you can copy them. Or if you're wanting to be able to pray better or understand the Bible better, find someone that you can copy, another Christian who's just a few more steps along the road than you are, and learn from them. But also be willing to let other people copy you. You don't have to be perfect. Because what we need is not so much perfect examples as living examples. And the same thing applies for working for God in the church or the community. Find someone to copy. It'll help you go on the road. And so as we add things back into our lives, and as we add back in the options that we can do in the church and community sphere as well, in the spiritual life as well, and it goes just beyond looking at screens, and it goes to actually being able to visit people or have connection with people or whatever. Let's be seeing, God, there's an opportunity for me to step forward into greater Christ-likeness, to follow you in fresh ways, to grow in the with, like, and for God life. And then you will be a bit more like Jesus, and the people around you will thank God for that. Let's pray. God, I pray that for anyone here who is tired and weary, Lord, that they would hear your fresh invitation to come and learn from your gentleness and humility and find fresh rest for their souls, God. Lord, I pray for those who are excited. Lord, that they would again connect with you and you would channel their enthusiasm and their energy into ways that they become more like you as well. And for those of us, Lord, who are in between one day and the other the next, may you meet us in our current realities too. Lord, just for each one of us, just highlight one thing, even today, that you want us to step into a bit more. And drop in our hearts right now just a simple thing we can do, or a person we can copy, or a book we can read, or someone we can ask. Lord, as we take the next step on the journey to being made into the image of Jesus. Let's pause for a moment and ask God to highlight that for you.